This hour we'll be talking about the Fontana Summer Music Festival here on WMUK. I'm Cara Lawrence. In the studio here is Fontana's CEO and artistic director, David Baldwin. Nice to have you back.
Always happy to be here.
Once again, summer has rolled around, and I'm wondering what's new and what's different for this season for Fontana.
Well, this year it's quite diverse, actually, and we have several different venues that we're performing at. So we have two concerts at the Nature Center, which is sort of our traditional venue of choice. But we also have a concert in collaboration with Western Michigan University's seminar at the Dalton Center Recital Hall, which is normally something we do during the season, but not during the summer. So that's new for us, and that's great. The Epic Theater at the Epic Center. And then we also have the Williams Theater at the Gilmore Center complex at Western.
So mostly located in Kalamazoo or just north
exactly,
to the Kalamazoo
exactly. Yes.
Nature Center.
Yeah.
And keeping track of that is not hard when you visit fontanamusic.org, where the entire season has been posted.
Yes.
And people can find out information on tickets and venues and concert times. You know, I always ask, but this year I see it right on the front page of the brochure. Ice cream is still provided.
Plain well ice cream, indeed.
Okay.
That's usually the first question people ask. Before they ask about the artists or the repertoire being performed, they want to know about the ice cream. And yes, it is.
Well, and I think that's because no matter what the performer is, it will be, you know, a curated, handpicked group or individual who will bring the best level that we can find in West Michigan to the series. And I know that's really one of your strong points, David.
Yeah.
You have a big...
Not ice cream so much, but yes.
The diversity of artists and the your understanding of the world of high performance is quite extensive. And at this point in music history, we are simply talking high performance level and not necessarily one genre or another.
Correct.
Does that make it easier or harder to...
I think it just makes it more interesting, to be honest. You know, obviously, some musical clips that we'll hear later on are Mendelssohn and Beethoven are near and dear to my heart, and that's really my bread and butter. Mm. But there's so much more out there that we need to explore and so many more interesting groups in particular, or individuals, that are out there performing that really have a lot to say and something to say about music that maybe we don't know about, or maybe music that's familiar to us. You'll hear a Beatles clip, music that's familiar to us that is interpreted in a different way.
Do you also want to champion some types of music or specific groups of performers that deserve a platform and deserve to add to our conversation about music?
I want to champion high quality music. I'm not interested in a lot of many other genres, but you know, whether it be classical, whether it be jazz, whether it be contemporary, it doesn't matter to me as long as it's high quality. That's what I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us the outlines of the festival from when does it last?
So we start on July 18th and we end on July 30th. And there are five concerts in those 2 weeks, roughly.
Mm-hmm. In the series.
Correct.
And you already mentioned the venues, so why don't we talk about opening night?
Get right into it, yes. So the first concert, as I mentioned, is a collaboration with Seminar at Western Michigan University. And Seminar is this wonderful program that brings in about 120, I think, high school students every summer. And it's been going on for quite some time now. Mm-hmm. And they're high school students on a very high level musically. To study. And it's kind of something like I did at Tanglewood when I was, you know, in college. But anyway, it's a collaboration with them. And the group's name is Sybarite Five. They're a group that performed at the Aspen Music Festival in 2008, and then they went on to be the resident, you know, ensemble there from like 2009 to 2013, I believe. They're New York based. And one thing I should also mention is that the program that they'll be performing is called Outliers. And they had a Kickstarter campaign in order to record this program. And they just reached their goal of $20,000 yesterday, which I was very excited about. but anyway, they're very much, you know, into contemporary music. They have lots of friends of theirs, even people within the group write stuff, but they also perform traditional stuff, and they do Piazzolla. I mean, it's basically everything, I say, from Rameau to Radiohead, essentially.
One thing I thought was really neat is Sybarite 5 is violin, viola, cello. Wait, two violins. Viola,
yeah, so it's a typical string quartet plus a bass.
Plus a bass.
Right, right.
And you'd be surprised how much a bass can actually create a feeling.
Absolutely. It changes the whole dynamic.
Yes, yes. So it's a amplified string quartet.
Right.
So they must... They must, to some degree, want to look outside the typical repertoire in order to include.
Well, they have to, really, yeah. When you think about it, because, you know, they're not going to be able to play the Haydn and the Beethoven quartets and leave the bassist, you know, off stage. So they really have to look at, you know, different options. And that's really, they only play what they love.
Well, what did you bring along for us to hear from Sybarite 5?
So this is a song called Everything in Its Right Place by Tom York.
Sybarite 5, with music that may be familiar to Radiohead fans. That's a song by Tom York.
Is
that correct, David? If you tuned in during the music, Sybarite 5 is opening the Fontana Summer Festival. What day will that be again?
That will be on July 18th at 7:30 at the Dalton Center Recital Hall at Western.
And Sybarite 5 is five string players, a quartet plus a bass.
Correct.
I see the names here. They met at Aspen, you mentioned. And
yes.
It's Sammy Merdinian, Sarah Whitney, Angela Pickett, Laura Metcalf, and Lewis Levitt. And they're going to be working with students at Seminar.
Yes.
On campus at Western. I can't help but thinking that this year's Seminar students are awfully fortunate to have this example in front of them.
Definitely. I think it'll be a really wonderful collaboration with the university.
Whose idea would that have been?
I think it was a mixture of Brad Wong, who's the director of the School of Music, his wife, who actually happens to be the artistic administrator at Fontana, and me. And the three of us just got together, and this seemed like the right group to speak to those people, you know, high school students. And I think it also speaks to adults. I mean, it speaks to me. So, but certainly I think that this definitely is a great way of communicating with those high school students that are in here for that period during the seminar.
Again, that's July 18th. They'll be giving a public concert at the Dalton Center Recital Hall at Western's campus, and that is the opening of the 2016 Summer Music Festival from Fontana. And Sybarite 5 is the name of the group. By the way, how did you learn about this group in the first place?
I think I first learned, I mean, we did try to get them last year for the summer festival, and I think they were in Australia at the time. But I think I initially learned from the Chamber Music America annual conference in New York. I was one of the adjudicators 2 years ago. And so I think that's where I first learned about them. But I'm very close with their manager in New York, mm-hmm. and he's a good friend of mine, and I trust his taste. So,
You evaluated some, how many dozens
I think it was
of
like 200
groups? 200
or something.
200
it
groups
was crazy.
That year.
It was like 150 or 200. It was something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's enough to last, to populate a festival for quite
right,
some time.
Right.
Yeah. So, David, where do we go from Sybarite 5?
So from Sybarite 5, then we go to the Escher String Quartet, which is on July 23rd, also at 7:30. All of our concerts are at 7:30. This one is in Cooper's Glen Auditorium at the Kalamazoo Nature Center, which is more of a traditional venue for us during the summer. But this group is absolutely terrific. They're artists of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center that they've been named. They've won the Avery Fisher Career Grant. They've won BBC New Generations. And what's interesting, too, is I love that their name comes from the Dutch graphic artist, M.C. Escher. And it's because of the interplay between individual components working together to form a whole, which is just perfect in my head for a string quartet.
Everything we've absorbed over the years
exactly.
About how they work and how they have to interact together makes the analogy just
perfect.
Yeah.
It does.
It never, there's no beginning and there's no end.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's not a hierarchy whatsoever.
Not.
The Escher Quartet coming to Cooper's Glen Auditorium at the Kalamazoo Nature Center on July 23rd. I wanted to mention on just transcendent performance last summer from the Aeolus
yes.
Quartet
yeah.
During the summer festival. And I think that was at the Nature Center as well.
It was, yes.
Well, starting next month with program changes on WMUK, I'm so excited to be featuring these one broadcast only exclusive live performances during prime music hours here on WMUK. So I know the very first thing I scheduled was the Haydn performance by the Aeolus Quartet.
Oh, that's awesome.
For July 4th. And then right. on the July 5th, we'll hear the Schulhoff performance they gave. So,
right.
Even more ways to enjoy Fontana and learn a little more about what's coming up on the season for Fontana, as well as many of the other arts organizations in town.
I listen to all of them.
Well, Escher will also provide me with great highlights, I'm sure, for radio. And, of course, for the live experience is even better. So.
Right. And this particular clip is a piece that they'll be performing on their program. It's the third movement of the Mendelssohn Quartet, number 3 in D major.
That's the Escher Quartet which will be introduced to West Michigan audiences by the Fontana Summer Music Festival. David Baldwin is my guest here. He's CEO of Fontana. Would you remind us when that concert will take place?
Sure. That's on Saturday, July 23rd at 7:30 at the Cooper's Glen Auditorium at the Kalamazoo Nature Center.
Enlisting the Escher Quartet's accomplishments, you mentioned BBC New Generation artist, which puts them in London at some point. Do they have to be from the UK? No.
They can be from anywhere. Artists that I used to manage, like Jonathan Biss, for instance, when he was quite young, as an American pianist, he was on that, what they call a scheme, very early on, back in the early 2000s. But it's been going on for quite some time now, about 15 years, I guess. And it affords artists from anywhere in the world a wonderful opportunity, particularly within the UK, to perform at places like Wigmore Hall or Cadogan Hall or, all throughout the UK, even some proms concerts. So it's a great, as they call it, I said scheme.
It means something different.
It means something totally different.
It means something a little more nefarious here, but over there it means simply plan.
Correct.
It's just your...
Correct.
Yeah. what music will they perform on July 23rd?
So while they're here, so the piece that you just heard, a movement of, the Mendelssohn String Quartet No. 3, in addition, they'll also do the Bartok String Quartet No. 2, and the Dvorak String Quartet in G major, Opus 106. And that's a piece that you don't hear every day, which is awesome.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Dvorak, summertime.
Perfect.
Perfect. So details can be found online at fontanamusic.org. You can also talk to a live person who would be happy to talk to you about different packages and things at the box office number 382-7774. Moving on, I guess we have a compare-contrast situation because it's going to be another quartet. And that's, two quartets together is an interesting opportunity, to see.
To compare and contrast, yes. So this is a very interesting group. They're called the Verona Quartet. And
are they from Verona? Probably not.
No, they're from New York.
Okay.
But actually, they got together, I believe, when they were at Indiana. But they're currently the graduate resident string quartet of the Juilliard School. So they work very closely with the Juilliard String Quartet. While at Indiana, they worked very closely with the Pacifica Quartet. And so these are all groups that... we've had on our subscription series over the past year or two. But I wasn't able to go to the Chamber Music America conference this year, and so my colleague Betsy Wong went, and she came back and said, you really need to hear these people. And I trust her implicitly in terms of her musical judgment. And so I did, and we listened to them quite extensively in a broader range of repertoire. Everything from Haydn to Webern to Bartok, and they're really, really terrific. There's obviously a reason that they're a graduate, resident string quartet at the Juilliard School. They can't, not be good.
Yeah,
but anyway, they're just really stunning.
If memory serves, that's the position the Aeolus Quartet was just leaving.
Exactly.
Last summer.
Yes, these are their successors.
The Juilliard Quartet, of course, was featured on a recent fall-winter series.
Yeah, March or April. Yeah, they were here at Stetson.
Joseph Lynn was the new violinist.
Yes.
And the Juilliard Quartet is one of the... top 10 quartets that young quartets would want to study with, certainly.
Absolutely.
And Miro at Austin as well.
Correct.
They train terrific young groups as well.
They do.
Oh, we're getting a little bit wonky here with our quartet chat, but it's all about the music and the surroundings as well in this case. Again, the Nature Center, bringing in a little bit of the outdoors during a concert can be wonderfully soothing and stimulating at the same time.
Absolutely, yes.
Full details at Fontana Chamber sorry, fontanamusic.org. Correct. Well, and we move on where after two quartets in a row?
Well, this piece that we have with Verona, I think, would be interesting to hear. It's not actually played by them here. This is a Beethoven string quartet, number 8 in E minor, and this is a final movement. They have not recorded it, but the Emerson String Quartet, which is yet another one that we brought in, this is a performance by them.
The Verona Quartet will perform at the Fontana Summer Music Festival on July 26th at Cooper's Glen Auditorium, and that will bring two quartets to the Summer Festival on July 23rd and 26th, both at the Nature Center, and full details on all the concerts are available at fontanamusic.org, or stick around and continue listening to my conversation with CEO of Fontana, David Baldwin, who is sharing the details on the Summer Music Festival with us today. Did we have anything to follow up on with Verona Quartet?
No, I think we probably pretty much covered it.
Yeah.
The next concert is a group called Founders, and that's on July 28th at 7:30 p.m. in the Epic Center in the Epic Theater. And this is a group that one of its founders is Brandon Ridenour, the trumpeter, and actually in this case also a pianist, will be featured. And he is a founding member of the organization. I'm sure he's very familiar to many in your audience as a Kalamazoo native.
I could do a quick recap if you would like.
I'd be happy for you to do so, yes.
He went to high school here. He went to Juilliard and then joined the Canadian Brass.
He was the youngest member ever to join the Canadian Brass at the age of 20.
It wasn't enough just to be performing on in the top level. He became one of their most reliable arrangers and composers as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
So he was in a film with Robert De Niro, I think.
Yes.
He's in the background band in a jazz age club. And Brandon also created his own group and now lives in New York.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all based in New York. I think mostly kind of Brooklyn hipsters, but, you know, maybe some of them are in Manhattan. But anyway, he's a terrific guy, an amazing musician, and really, really fortunate to have him and his New York ensemble come to Fontana on July 28th.
Talking to Brandon a couple seasons ago when he was the opening soloist for the KSO, he mentioned that being a musician these days means flexibility. And he wants to use his arranging skills for any kind of project that he approaches or might even just walk in the door for what he does. He's willing to work with people who don't read music, for example, and create acoustic arrangements for singer-songwriters and so many interesting directions for Brandon.
He's an amazing guy. And actually, the musical clip that we brought here for me is particularly interesting. Again, it's an arrangement that he has done of a Beatles song, Eleanor Rigby, or other people might know it as All the Lonely People. And he just does such an exquisite and understated performance of it.
Why don't we hear that now? And remind folks that you can see Brandon Ridenour and his chamber group on July 28th at 7:30 at the Epic Theater in the Epic Center, and it's called Founders. A highlight from Brandon Ridenour's new group coming in from New York City or and environs to the Summer Festival at Fontana. And again, what's the name of the group, David?
It's called Founders. And actually, I had to ask Brandon this because I was really quite curious where the name came from. And it does, in fact, come from the beer, you know.
Of all things.
Yes. So we will be serving Founders beer at the concert.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, just for fun.
Oh, I'm sure he will very much appreciate that kind of thing. What other kinds of things would you expect him to play on this concert?
Do you know, they're all over the place. They do, you know, basically everything. I mean, they do classical music, Baroque music, very contemporary stuff, stuff that they've written themselves quite a bit. You know, as you're aware, Brandon does a lot of arranging and a lot of composing, as do many of the musicians in the band. So there will be things from Baroque to things that were just penned like yesterday.
Musicians at this level can play around with many different kinds of things.
Absolutely. And we're seeing it more and more, I think, especially with the younger musicians, that they just have a taste for so much more than just sticking to the classical canon.
Thank you, YouTube.
Well, there's that, yes.
Yeah, the internet has done an amazing thing in bringing all of these ideas and types of music to our fingertips. One thing I just remembered about Brandon's last appearance, I think, in Kalamazoo at the Sacred Music Festival was his series of songs, a song cycle on music of, or his music and the poetry of Edgar Allan Poe.
Nice.
Which he did record, and maybe he'll bring that recording along or even choose a few selections from that. But it could be just about anything with this group.
And it's all going to be announced from the stage, so they'll probably decide that evening what's going to happen. I'm interested because whatever they do is interesting.
Details are online at fontanamusic.org. You can also talk to someone in person at 382-7774. Here's where we might want to mention a jazz element to the summer brought to you by Fontana and a couple of other organizations.
So this is a collaboration with Fontana and the Arts Council, the Greater Arts Council of Kalamazoo, as well as the City of Kalamazoo. And it's a series of 5 jazz concerts. They're free, open to the public in Bronson Park. And it's called Thursdays in the Park Live. And so these concerts, the first takes place this coming Thursday on June 23rd. And it's a duo called Star Rover. The drummer happens to have local roots here. It's Dan Gustin, who's the head of the Gilmore Keyboard Festival, his son.
Is that right?
Yes.
I had no idea he had musical kids.
He does, yes. And actually, Jeremy Gustin has made really quite a name for himself out in the scene And he's constantly traveling to South America and to the Far East. And he's been on various different late night shows, whether it be Jimmy Kimmel or, you know, Fallon or whomever. Mm-hmm. He's really getting out there, and he's done a great job at creating a career for himself. And this is his duo called Star Rover with a guitar player called Will Greff. And then the next one is July 14th, and that's Diego Figuerdo with an Italian jazz singer, Chiara Izzi. And that's all.
An Italian jazz singer.
Yes.
From Italy.
Right.
Okay.
Straight from Italy. On July 28th, we have the Julian Lebrow Quartet. And he's this amazing accordionist. Some of Fontana's audience may be familiar with him from the Hot Club.
Yeah. He's a breakout star.
Yes.
And the go-to guy now for high-level accordion on the Bayan, I think is the name of the Russian-style
right.
Accordion that he plays with, like, 600 million buttons on it.
Exactly, so. Too many to count. but he's coming with his new quartet, so it's a different group, you know, out of New York. And then on August 4th, we have a trio called Honey Ear, and Allison Miller was the drummer for Ben Allison when he was here. So some people may remember her from that, but she's terrific, and it'll be very fun. And then the last one is on August 18th, and it's a vocalist called Caesar. He just goes by Caesar. Very much in the vein of a Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra, young Tony Bennett, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of very traditional style. But then he also does a lot of stuff in different foreign languages. And so it'll be very interesting. We're very much looking forward to this partnership. And this will be the third year in a row that we've done it.
How are we going to remember which Thursdays to be down at Bronson Park?
It's pretty much every other Thursday. But, you know, you can definitely go on the Arts Council's website. You can go on Fontana's website. It's all there. So fontanamusic.org is your place to go, and you can see, you know, Thursdays in the Park. Click on it, and it's all there for you. All of the concerts start at 6 o'clock,
and they
last about an hour. And then we also have a beer tent there, and that's open from pretty much 5 to 8, so people can just hang in the park after work and, you know, enjoy some live music.
We're all carrying around this space age technology on us with calendars on it too. So,
well, there's that.
we could probably just type it in there somehow and make it work.
Right.
Well, David, we're getting to the top of the hour here, and we still have to finish up with the Summer Music Festival. And I see a familiar name here. I'm really thrilled that Jeremy Siskind is going to be featured.
I couldn't be happier. Jeremy is bringing his trio in from New York for this last concert, which will be on July 30th at 7:30 at the Williams Theater at Western. And Jeremy is just incredibly gifted. I first heard him, I guess, two Gilmore festivals ago. He did a solo Gershwin program, and my jaw just kind of hit the ground, and it was like, are you serious?
A lot of people have that reaction when they see Jeremy.
And I've heard him, obviously, many times since then in various different guises and different ensembles. But most recently at the 2016 Gilmore Festival, he did a recital with Andrew Rathbun. And I just remember the last piece that he played, I was thinking to myself, you know, this is so technically, I mean, it was musically beautiful, and they both played beautifully, but it was so technically difficult. I mean, it was like playing the Rachmaninoff Third Piano Concerto backwards. It was just crazy. And he just tosses it off as if it's nothing. I want to be able to play like you.
Having you say it means a little more than having someone who doesn't know what pianists go through, because you are a highly trained pianist yourself. Jeremy Siskin will be featured on July 30th, and this will be the end of the Summer Music Festival. So it goes from July 18th through the 30th, a series of five concerts. And you mentioned who he'll be bringing along with him?
Yes. And so in his trio is Nancy Harms on vocals and Lucas Pino on clarinet.
Longtime friends and collaborators.
Yes.
We have a couple of albums featuring that combination with Jeremy, and it is more than Jeremy. Together, they are a special unit. Nancy Harms on vocals is really fantastic, and has a terrific way of interpreting, you know, the songs that Jeremy and she have written together.
Right.
And Lucas Pino, a standout reed player. Oh, my goodness.
Definitely.
I was so lucky to see him in person earlier this year. And I'm so glad you're bringing him back to
Kalamazoo. Yeah, I'm thrilled that they're available. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for bringing along all this information on the festival. And best of luck.
Thank you.
For the festival. How shall we go out here?
I think we'll go out with a piece that Jeremy actually has written for his trio.